This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. You want to join us? You can at 410-583-1057. Talk about the Ravens, the loss to the Steelers, which we're trying to put in the rearview mirror. We'll put a bow on it here in a couple seconds. But look ahead a little bit to the Chargers coming up Monday night in L.A. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Ravens. They drop another one to the Steelers. They're 7-4 in the year, 3-3 on the road, all four losses within the division. We talked earlier, film study about the Baltimore defense exceeding expectations. Playing as well as they played all year long, I guess, for 60 minutes.
No doubt.
Now we get to the offense, though, and what now? Wild Water Sports went wrong there.
I think, number one, the biggest thing was Lamar was off. I didn't think he read coverage very well. I didn't think he made good decisions at all. You know, and like on the one pass, you know, and Bob in the third quarter, you know, the one to Bateman that he one hopped. I mean, he's standing in the pocket and he jumps to throw it, and there's no reason to jump. And then I showed you another one. He's got a quick screen out to Zay Flowers, and they've got two blockers and two defenders and Zay, your best make you miss guy, and he fakes it to Zay and runs up there and loses 2 yards, gets tackled. Like, why? I mean, he was doing so many things in that game that he hadn't done all year. Now, to say something positive about Lamar. The last drive now, Bob. I mean, the last drive, he was 6 out of 8 for 74 yards. The rest of the game, he was 10 out of 25 for 131. So, I mean, but that last, when you needed it, needed a touchdown, overcoming penalties and everything else on that drive, he got him to score. So, I mean, you could say all the crap you want. He could play. He played horrible for 3.5 quarters. And then you're down 8, and you need a touchdown. And takes him down there and gets a touchdown.
Even Will Graves, who we talked to last hour from the AP covers the Steelers, was kind of, I don't know, surprised, maybe even flummoxed at how poorly, what did he say, that he noticed early that Lamar's
confused.
Yeah, like the Steelers are like in their dome.
Yes.
Domed up, as Ryan Ripken
would
say.
I mean, because like he's jumping and early in the game, he's overthrowing people and he's missing receivers. Because, you know, watching the game, you say, damn, receivers can't get open. But then when you watch a film, no, the receivers are wide open. But he's missing them or not throwing to the right guy. And yeah, it was hard film to watch for Lamar. Now, with Derrick Henry, I mean, I thought all along could run north-south at him. And I said that all week, run north-south. And they had success running north-south. And when they run those pitches, they lost yards every time. And that's why, Bob, that the two-point play confused me, because they didn't make any yards running wide to the left. And then to win the game, or tie the game, you're going to run wide to the left when it got blown up the whole time. So I did not like that call whatsoever, and neither did Harbs. You know, so the receivers didn't play as bad as you thought. It was just they were open at time, a lot of times, and they just never got the ball. There was opportunities for big plays there. But for some reason, Lamar was not a – he was not like he's been every other game other than that one. That one, that hopefully that is the outlier. And for the Chargers, he's back to normal, because that was not a good game. I don't like the fact, Bob, that, I mean, Justice Hill's on the field for 30 snaps, and Derek's on the same for the same.
I think most of us are right there with you on that one.
Yeah. Just because Derek Henry causes, just by him standing there, you got to worry about him. With Justice out there, it's like, okay, he's going to chip or, you know, he's going to catch the ball short. You know, and I feel bad for Aguilar because he makes a hell of a play down the field, you know, to the 4-yard line on that last drive. And when we had illegal man downfield. So, I mean, that was, another one, Bob, where they got one of the penalties was Lamar double pumped. Or it was the pass to Henry, the screen pass. He double pumped, and then the lineman was downfield. If he doesn't double pump, then the timing's right. But when he double pumped, then they got the man downfield.
But weren't the down the field ones kind of ticky tacky? I mean, was it egregious?
The McCary one down. I mean, Bob, it's like to the other side of the field. I mean, it doesn't even matter. And McCary's just getting up. He fell down, stood up, and I think every one of them was a yard over. But, I mean, the ball's out. You know, according to the law, you know, I mean, the letter of the law, yeah, that's a penalty. But, I mean, come on, let them. You're down the field? Hell, you let them tackle, do whatever you want. On the one that Pickens caught on the big third down, he pushed Hamilton way off. You know, I mean, so the secondary, the refs in the secondary let everything go, and otherwise it was pretty ticky-tack. But offensively, Lamar gets all the praise when, you know, hey, he dished it to this guy, you know, seven receivers caught. This one, it was 10 of 25 other than that last drive.
So the receivers were getting open. Yes. Did you notice anything about the Pittsburgh defense that may have thrown Lamar off his game or had Todd Monken questioning calls, you know what I mean?
Because
they seemed out of it. I mean, Henry fumbled on, what, the second play of the game?
Second play of the game, yeah.
And they were, it was kind of like, oh boy, uphill all the way.
Yeah, but you know what? Then you know what gets frustrating, Bob, is then you take next drive, you drive right down, kick field goal to tie it, and you miss. Then you get the ball back again, you take it down again, kick another field goal, and you miss. And then, you know, right before the half, you take it, you get a touchdown. And then in the second half, you know, you're going to drive down there and score. I mean, if things would have went right for them, they probably score on 6 of their 10 drives or whatever it was. They just didn't play. I mean, too many penalties. Everything that we talked about all week, they did. Plus, on top of all that, Lamar didn't play good till that last drive, and they still could have overcome it.
Now they got to tighten up the penalties, duh, because the Chargers are one of the more, effective teams and not killing themselves.
Yep.
When it comes to penalties. We'll get the stats coming up later in the week. But you want to comment on the film breakdown by Vinny of the Ravens offense? Lamar not having one of his stellar games for sure, quarterback rating in the 60. The ESPN panel of experts, by the way, did their updated MVP leaderboard. Mike Tannenbaum's part of the crew, for instance. Dan Orlovsky. Lamar's still the leader in the clubhouse for most valuable player. I mean, everybody gets a mulligan. I mean, Josh Allen probably breathing down his neck a little bit, but Lamar's still that guy. And what better way to remind people how awesome you are than by doing it on a Monday night?
Right. And Bob, just think of this. All right, say they make the 2-point play and they go win. All right, Lamar played crappy, but you know what? Lamar would have done something to win it in overtime, but all of a sudden, you know, Lamar sucked other than the two most critical series, the last series of the game and then the series in overtime.
Yeah, because that end of the 2-point where he just kind of throwing it up there, the feeble attempt to not get tackled.
Is I'm going to show you pretty much almost the same formation. I'll show it to you during break. The same formation when they ran that sweep to the left. Same thing with Aguilar there. and they lost 5 yards. And that's why I'm saying, oh, my God, how can you run that same thing?
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan will come back. You want to get in, you can, at 410-583-1057. But we're counting that midweek money with buy or sell. Talk about the many sports subjects of the day. College football playoff rankings came out updated last night. And we'll give you what the playoffs would look like if they happen today, what they don't. And if I lunch at 1 o'clock, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. He'll be joining us around 1:15 to preview Week 12. We'll look at the schedule there. And the Orioles, Corbin Burns, Anthony Santander, they rejected the qualifying offer. And if you're surprised, I mean, why?
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. If you want to get in, you can right now at 410-583-1057. Talk about the Ravens. Talk about the Orioles. Talk about Maryland. You're getting more excited about Kevin Willard, year three. Maryland football wrapping up the home slate against Iowa. 6.5-point dogs. Chargers. They're what? Underdogs at home?
Yep.
I don't know, man. And Ray Lewis, possibly a candidate for FAU?
Yeah.
We shall see. Tom Herman. Not to digress too much. Remember when he was at Houston? He was the new dude. Then he went to Texas, lost 2 years in a row to Maryland. Then he got fired. And now Tom Herman just got whack attacked at FAU and Ray Lewis trying to do that Deion thing. Who knows? But anyway, Nolan, we got sports to talk about. But first, let's count that dough by yourself.
Yeah, the market is down. The Dow's down 100. S&P's down 32. NASDAQ's down 133. DraftKings down 6 cents. Under Armour's down 22 cents.
All right, we'll get started in Major League Baseball. Alex Bregman, 30 years old already, accomplished pretty much everything there is to achieve in the sport of baseball, but he's looking for one more big payday as he prepares to enter the free agent market again. Ken Rosenthal recently wrote that he suspects Bregman and his agent Scott Boras will be entering negotiations with the Manny Machado figures in mind as a starting point. Yes, you heard correctly. The Manny Machado figures that were 11 years, $350 million. Everyone, after reading that or seeing that on social media, reacted accordingly. The only proper response, are you kidding me? Buy or sell, Bob. Bregman won't even get what fellow Boras represented third baseman Matt Chapman got. 6 years, $151
million. I'll buy that. And look, Bregman's a stud. And is, as you said, his career is well documented. He's an all-star, MVP kind of finalist guy, world champion a couple of times over. But when Manny signed with San Diego, he was still in his 20s when he got that deal. Bregman, as you said, is 30, but it seems like an old 30. I guess there have been some injury concerns. I'm not saying he's unreliable hitting the diamond, but nah. Closer to Chapman, maybe more, but he's not sniffing Manny.
Moving over to the Ravens, we know they're sticking with Justin Tucker despite his recent struggles. However, the excessive misses this year have had an impact on his overall resume. A success rate of 72% on the season. Now, all of a sudden, his once all-time best career field goal percentage, this was best not just current day, this was all-time best, has dropped his all-time percentage to 89.3. That's no longer the best. The distinction belongs to Eddie Pinheiro, and I'll give you $1,000 if you knew that that was the answer. Harrison Butker, a few decimal points back at third all-time. Buy or sell, Vinny, by the time Tucker retires, he will once again be the owner of the all-time best field goal percentage.
No, I'm going to sell that. I'm going to sell it. He started his struggles last year, and they've gotten worse this year, and he's going to be even older next year. So, what's he going to need next year to be, like, almost perfect?
Right.
And I don't see, and he hasn't been good from 50 the last 2 years. So, I would just be drinking the purple Kool-Aid if I said, yo, no doubt he's going to do that.
Wasn't Eddie Pinheiro the jockey on Man of War? Oh, my bad. Anyway, Bregman just flipping it back here. Played 145 games this year for Houston, but he's usually in the 150 area. The only time he's been less than 100 the COVID year in 2021. So he usually hits the post.
How about some NBA news? Things have not gone according to plan for the 76ers this season. A 2-11 record should tell you as much, but whether it was injury related, delays with Joel Embiid, Paul George, well, now there's even more drama. Apparently, there was a closed-door meeting earlier in the week in which a lot of concerns were voiced, including Tyrese Maxey calling out Joel Embiid for routinely being late to practice, other team-related events and meetings. In the post-process era, the worst that the 76ers have finished was actually last year's mark of 47-35, and that was defined by the Embiid injury at the end of the year. Buy or sell, Bob, the Sixers will finish with an even worse record this year.
Then 47-35, I'm 100% buying it. And Tyrese Maxey, when you have a guy who's hurt and isn't even playing right now calling you out for not being a team player, it speaks volumes. What's Vinny say? When the headache becomes bigger than the production, get rid of the headache. When you become a disruptor to the detriment of the team, you got to figure some things out. And Tyrese Maxey taking over as the leadership guy there. They screwed up when they let Jimmy Buckets walk and signed Tobias Harris. And I like Tobias Harris. Those Goldfish commercials with Boban were very touching. But Tobias is now in Detroit. And Jimmy Buckets has been in the finals, what, twice in Miami?
Back to the NFL, Za'Darius Smith made his Lions debut over the weekend. He was out there quite a bit. They played 48 defensive snaps. He was on the field for 37 of them. Recorded a half sack in the process, making that instant impact. But expectations are high for him. Detroit would like him to at least come close or replace a good portion of Aiden Hutchinson's production that they won't have for the rest of the season. Prior to the trade, when he was still with the Browns, Za'Darius Smith collected 5 sacks in 9 games. He'll play at most 8 regular season games with his new team. Buy or sell, Vinny, he'll get 5 sacks with them as well.
I'll buy it. And you know why I'll buy it, Norm, is because they're going to be ahead in a lot of games and the opponents are going to be throwing it a lot. So the only thing why he couldn't, just kind of what you said about this last game, how many defensive snaps did they have?
Only 48.
Yeah.
That's efficient.
That's your offense is kicking ass.
And we'll close things here in the NBA. Kings guard De'Aaron Fox had an incredible weekend, if you missed this. Last Friday, scored 60 points in a loss to the Timberwolves that went to overtime. Then the next day, on Saturday, he drops 49 when they beat the Jazz. Doing that in back-to-back games is impressive enough. But in today's NBA, to do it on back-to-back nights, even more rare. A lot of star players wouldn't have even been playing on Saturday night. He goes out there, gives you 49. Now, so far through 15 games this season, he's shooting over 50% from the field. His all-time best mark in shooting percentage came during his only All-Star appearance in 2023, where he shot 51%. Buy or sell, Bob, Fox finishes the year with a career high in shooting percentage.
I'm going to buy it. He's a quiet superstar. And you just said only one All-Star appearance. And the Kings have kind of been on the national level as a playoff-worthy team last couple of seasons. They brought in DeMar DeRozan to kind of be the third wheel between him and Sabonis. But injuries, and I know Sabonis missed a game. I don't think DeRozan played a couple of nights ago. But he's a constant. And he's an awesome player, and he's going to continue to be awesome. Now, are the Kings awesome? That's still debatable, but he is certainly a stud by all measures here in the NBA 2024-2025. If you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Your concerns with the Ravens going to the Chargers as favorites. If there's any Chargers fans out there and you're feeling disrespected, get on in here. Chargers aren't usually one of them bandwagon teams. You know, they're not championship worthy for the Duke, Alabama, Yankee, bandwagon Cowboys sort of fans. So they kind of get lost in the sauce. But they're good this year. And they're underdogs at home in the Harbaugh. But the Ravens got to worry about their own things. And the Tucker concern, is it real? I guess it is now. They stunned BYU 17-13. First loss of the season for the Cougars. With the loss, BYU falls from number 6 in the playoff rankings to number 14. They're still projected to be in said playoffs because they are the Big 12 champions, which is to be determined. BYU benefits as they now move into a top 4 seed. But look, this has been a time-honored thing in college football going back years and years and years. You're better off losing early than losing late. BYU loses to Kansas week 1, and they win 9 in a row. They're a team that's ascending up the rankings, but you start 9-0, you have a hiccup, and losing at home is, quite frankly, kind of unacceptable. Kansas has Colorado coming up this weekend. BYU got disrespected the first rankings when they were only picked 9th, got a little more love at 6, but now they're in a position where if they lose again, and they've got Arizona State, who's, what, 8-2 coming up?
Yeah.
BYU, they're playing, they're going to a bowl, and probably a pretty strong one, but they're not going to be in the playoff scenario.
No. And their thing is, Bob, like you said, they got to get to the Big 12 championship game, win the championship game, and then get the automatic bid. Otherwise, they're not getting in. Although Colorado controls their own destiny. Colorado wins all their games. They're going to be in. Because that'll mean that they'll have won the Big 12 championship game, too.
Now, right now, BYU would play Ohio State with the winner of that one getting Boise State. And Ashton Gentry is one of the Heisman favorites. And as we've talked about, their only loss to Broncos was to Oregon early in the season, where he had a monster game. Then you've got Alabama-Notre Dame, little traditional rivalry there, Parisian versus Bear Bryant. Oregon awaits the winner. And I got to be honest with you, if I'm Oregon, that's a pretty interesting matchup in their first playoff game. Yeah. Then Georgia back at it, taking on Penn State. Winner gets Miami. I think Georgia or Penn State beats Miami, personally. Yeah. And then Ole Miss, Indiana, taking on Texas. But that's as of today. All of this subject to change. For instance, Indiana plays Ohio State. But as we said earlier, 95% chance, according to ESPN Bet, that even if Indiana loses to the Buckeyes, they'll still get to the playoffs.
Yeah, when you look at that, Bob, I mean, Alabama at Notre Dame. Alabama Southern School, December 20th, roughly right in that vicinity. Cold and snowy in South Bend. Georgia Southern School at Penn State, December 20th. No doubt freezing cold and snowy. And then Ole Miss at Indiana, same type thing. I mean, that's the advantage of all the northern teams having the home field advantage right now is they have the weather.
Indiana, Ohio State, Buckeyes 13.5-point favorites in that one. And they played close games in recent vintage here. And Indiana's offense is legit. They score a ton of points. So Ohio State doesn't want a loss because that would be their second. But Indiana still built up enough equity to survive. Wake Forest is at Miami. Miami's dodged a lot of bullets this year. Finally got caught by Georgia Tech. But Wake, good enough to pull the shocker there. But what about Florida taking on Ole Miss down in Gainesville coming up this Saturday?
Yeah. Florida beat LSU.
Blew them out.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, they got a little momentum going. But Ole Miss is coming off a big, big win, too, against Georgia. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, if Ole Miss plays what they're capable of playing, they'll win that game.
Penn State's at Minnesota. 12.5 in favor of the Nittany Lions here.
I would have thought a little different, Bob, if Minnesota hadn't gone to Rutgers and lost that game. You know, I mean, then they'd won, what, like 4 or 5 in a row? And I just don't think they're talented enough offensively to score enough points.
Talking about BYU at Arizona State, the Sun Devils, 3-point favorites in that one, 3:30 ESPN, which is great because these 10:30 night games kind of wear you out there if you're standing up and your wife's yelling at you the whole time.
You're playing the wrong music.
Yeah, it was Rat. I played Rat. What the hell I got to do with that? It's not Metzler. Colorado at Kansas. Colorado's 2.5-point favorites as Kansas pulled the stunner at BYU. Here they are at home with a chance to, you know, they're still trying to get bowl eligible after a disappointing season. I mean, is it too late in the season for trap games? I mean, when you're down to your final 2-3 regular season games left.
I don't know about trap game for Colorado. I just think that I don't think it'll be a trap game, Bob, because you just saw them beat BYU. You know, like if they'd have got blown out by BYU or something like that, then maybe a trap game, you don't go in, we got Kansas, that's an easy one. But when you see that they beat BYU, you better be zeroed in.
Right, and Colorado just blew out Utah, who took BYU to the wire. Yep. Matter of fact, BYU got some beneficial officiating in the closing minutes of that one. What about Army-Notre Dame up at Yankee Stadium here?
Well, Army can't throw the ball. So if Notre Dame – and Well, what, Notre Dame killed Navy because Navy turned the ball over like four times the first half. So Army's got to play a perfect game. They cannot turn the ball over. That's number one. And they hadn't been Army hadn't been scoring a bunch lately. So could be a tough one for Army.
Yeah, quarterback for Army Daly. He's got over 1,000 yards, 20 touchdowns rushing the football.
Yeah,
so there's one of great interest. And look, if this was in the olden days, Alabama going to Norman, Oklahoma, you'd be sweating bullets, but not this year. Crimson Tide, 13.5 point favorite.
Yeah, I think that'll be a blowout. Oklahoma's bad this year.
And last trap game, maybe, if Texas A&M's kind of lurking on the outside, looking in there at Auburn, only 2.5 point favorites.
Yeah, I was listening to the Feinbaum show. A lot of people are predicting that Auburn's going to beat them down there. I mean, A&M's a better team, but, you know, who knows? Auburn, because they're getting ready to the next week to play Alabama.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens made a move yesterday. Desmond King was added to the practice squad. Ryan Bump Cooper Jr. was removed from the practice squad. Desmond King at one time was an All-Pro. But there are reasons he's looking for employment here a week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he played at Iowa. He was a corner at Iowa. Jim Thorpe Award winner, but he ran like 4.6. So he was never a burner. That was, you know, good instincts and smart and all those things. And seems to me that Arthur Millett may be out longer than they anticipated. And then he'll play like the nickelback position.
Yeah, Ravens back at practice today. John Harbaugh does not meet with the media until tomorrow. It'll be open podium there as well, or player podium. It is open locker room, so we'll get some intel later in the show. And Nolan mentioned this during one of his updates, the Hall of Fame semifinalist. Ravens interest here, Anquan Boldin.
I think there's a receiver to me. Takes a while because you got to wait in line.
Technically, James Harrison did play, was in the Ravens organization, but became a star for the Steelers. I think his resume is pretty strong there.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's going to be going up against Suggs. I think Suggs is stronger.
And Steve Smith Sr.
Steve Smith Sr. should.
The measurables you mentioned.
He'll go before Boldin.
T. Sizzles, I think, is a lot. Maybe not first ballot, but he's getting a gold jacket. Hey, Earl Thomas played for the Ravens. Remember that?
That was ugly. That was a bad year.
In Seattle, he was a stud.
Yeah.
In Baltimore, he got pushed down the field 40 yards by Derrick Henry. Let's see what else we got here. Marshall Yanda. Haloti Ngata did not make it. How about that?
Yeah. Yanda, I think he'll eventually get in, Bob, but Wisniewski will get in before Yanda. Wisniewski was a stud, too.
So those are some of the Hall of Famers, at least from a Ravens-related. Did Willie Anderson play for the Ravens?
I'm not
the
sure.
Tackle.
Did he have a cup of coffee here towards the end of the line there?
Cincinnati.
Yeah. Let's take a look.
Antonio Gates. I'm guessing he's going to get in.
Yeah,
he did. You're right. Oh wait, the final year of his career.
Yeah. Look at the Bobster bringing out something from the memory bank. Luke Kuechly, who would probably still be an active player if it wasn't for concussions. Eli Manning. He's going to be a lightning rod guy because, you know, his stats weren't. I mean, he put up numbers because he played for 18 years, but two Super Bowl wins, both against Tom Brady.
Yeah. That'll be, to me, if you're a voter, Bob, it's either, like, when you say Eli Manning and you're a voter, you'll say yes or no, I think. You know, because, like, my gut tells me, probably not.
But, you know, the Manning name's kind of out there. And he seems like a likable guy, but never won an MVP. Not that that needs to be a prerequisite. It helps. I mean, if you have a Super Bowl
MVP.
Was he
ever even in the top three?
I'm not sure. But they were contenders for most of his career. Yeah. And again, two Super Bowl rings. And maybe this is something that Justin Tucker is going to be watching 10 years down the road. Adam Vinatieri is on the list here. Gets in eventually, right?
Well, I think from what, like, when Tucker's done, Bob, I go from him being a absolutely first ballot to. He's going to have to wait in line now.
Yeah, and I think Vinatieri's going to wait in line.
I agree.
And how many game-winning kicks did he execute
right.
in Super Bowls and did it for a couple of different teams? But Tucker's going to the Hall of Fame. Right now, we're just hoping that if the Ravens need a 51-yard field goal Monday night against the Chargers, that he takes care of business. It's Vinny at 81057. The Fan will come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, NFL Lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. And we'll preview Week 12 of the NFL season with Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com coming up around 1:15. In that game, and Vinny, you do the film study after every game. And sometimes it's great, sometimes not so much, like the Ravens' offense against the Steelers. But can we call them disciplined, effective, fundamentally, when they're as penalized
lead the league in penalties. So, I mean, fundamentally, I think the defensive line fundamentally, Bob's outstanding. I think they do a great job of keeping her shoulders square and keeping her outside arm, outside leg free and punching, locking out, and finding the football. I think they do a fabulous job. I think the O-line's gotten better, a lot better, fundamentally, with their footwork and those types of things. Lamar, he took a step back against footwork-wise this past week. But normally he's been much better with his footwork. So fundamentally, yeah. I mean, the 12 penalties in a game, that's lack of discipline in that game.
And even John Harbaugh admitted as such that things have to change in that area. Back to practice today. John Harbaugh meets with the media tomorrow, but there is open locker room, so we'll have something coming your way tomorrow when we reconvene from one winning drive as two teams charging, no pun intended, to the playoffs. LA's won 4 in a row, 5 of 6. Ravens coming off their fourth loss, all 4 in the conference. And if they want to stay around to get that AFC North for the second straight year, they need some help. Pittsburgh against Cleveland. Even Will Graves said, from the AP, if you're just tuning in, notes from the North, around 11:30. He thinks this could be a game where Pittsburgh lets their guard down.
Yep.
And takes a big right hand from the hapless Browns here, who suck at home. But it is a rivalry game.
Well, the advantage that, you know, like the Ravens got after that game is they get an extra day. Because, I mean, we all watched that game. You saw the intensity in that game. I mean, you don't get that intense and play with that tenacity in 17 straight game. No way. You know, and that one had it. That one definitely had it. Had pushing, shoving, and physical nastiness in it and everything. So there's definitely going to be some type of letdown. And we're going to see what Tomlin, you know, if Tomlin can get him back.
And we're going to hear from Mike Tomlin and the rest. Russell Wilson ahead of that game coming up tomorrow night to Amazon Prime. And since it's not within our geographical area, you can hear it on 105.7 The Fan as well. Steelers, as you would expect, favored in that ball game by 3.5 points. But Nolan, you want to do a quick fun out since we couldn't get there last hour?
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll start with Chris here, who says he's moving on from the Steelers' loss, even though we can all admit probably should have been a win. Goes on to say here, I think that the Ravens will bounce back in a similar fashion they did after losing to the Browns. They come back the next week, smacked around the Broncos. He says, I think the Ravens handle their business similar fashion against the Chargers.
I think I would love to see a blowout, but you almost kind of see two similar type teams. I don't see a blowout. I don't see a blowout. I think it's going to be a close game. If Lamar plays well, then anything can happen.
Over-under is 49.5.
Oh, they expect a big scoring.
A little points here going on, Nolan. What do you think? Hey, Chargers just matched Cincinnati point for point.
Right. Well, it's hard to say when look, the Cincinnati scored big on the Ravens, scored big on the Chargers. Feel like they could score big on anyone. I don't know if I'd let that skew my line quite a bit. I think it comes more from the talent disparity. That's kind of what it's been all year. Even in some of the Ravens were favored against the Bills, pretty big when people thought that it should be closer. Same thing, the Broncos spread was big. People were a little confused about it.
This texter here says the Ravens have invested in the defensive back position in the draft more than any other position recently. Is this an indictment on their drafting or scouting, or is it an indictment on just the individuals? Talking about players like Jalen Armour Davis, Pepe Williams, TJ Tampa.
Well, where were they selected? I mean, Wiggins was taken in the first round. So nobody else was in the top three rounds, correct? I don't think so.
No.
So, you know, I mean, that's kind of hit and miss after that. I mean, Wiggins has got to be a player for him because they invested in him to be. I mean, when you take a guy first, second, third round, you expect him to be a starter. Four through seven, contribute.
Another texter here says the Ravens still have a great shot at the division, in my opinion. I'm still not sold on Pittsburgh after they couldn't find the end zone against a weak Ravens secondary. Win the second head-to-head matchup and then hope that Kansas City and Philly beat up on them as well. AFC North, still Baltimore's for the taking.
I think the Steelers are going to have a tough time Thursday, and then I think with Cincinnati the following week with the Bengals coming after bye, I think that's going to be a tough game for them. And the other games like Philly and Kansas City, like you mentioned.
Four of their next five games, the Steelers are on the road. At Cleveland, at Cincinnati, host the Browns, at Philly, then at Baltimore.
And five of the seven division.
Correct.
This texter here says the Ravens' continued struggles against Kansas City and Pittsburgh are major concerns. We always knew that in order to get to the Super Bowl, you'd probably have to beat the Chiefs first. That's fine, but this year I think they'll have to go through both Pittsburgh and Kansas City in a potential playoff run if they want to reach the big game.
I think they'll have to go through one of them. You know, and they play better. I think they'll play better against Kansas City than Pittsburgh. You know, Kansas City this last game, you had a rookie D coordinator in his first game, so that'll get better there. And they lost that game by, what, 2 inches? And, you know, the Pittsburgh game, they beat them. I mean, they can beat either team. They played them both on the road. Could have easily won both games. So I don't think if they have to go to either place, I don't think Harbs cares.
One last text here. Travis in Parkville says the run game is never going to change. Wait till the Ravens are 14 points behind in a playoff game. It all starts with Harbaugh, and they should move on from him after this year. As for who replaces him, we'll find the, quote, next guy, just like Harbs was, quote, the next guy when he was hired.
Yeah, the Chargers give up 4.7 per rush, so you can run it on them. I see them, you know, usually after, what other game did they get criticized, Bob, for not giving Henry the ball?
Browns game.
Browns game. And then what'd they do the next? Didn't he carry it like 25 times the next game?
I think so.
Yeah, so I see a heavy, heavy dose of Derrick Henry this week.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, NFL lunch, you want us to feed you some football or feed it to us? Come on in now. 410-583-1057. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. We'll talk about week 12 of the season with him. We'll look at the schedule coming up around 1:30 or so. Then another funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Corbin Burns, Anthony Santander. They peaced out officially. Any chance either comes back?